when you think of a medium or a channeler from the world of fiction, who comes to mind? Well, there's Madame Arcati from Noel Coward's Blithe Spirit. There's Mrs. Haddock from the Durrells. Or maybe you think of Professor Sybil Trelawney, the seer from the Harry Potter books. We are all too familiar with the fake medium. Is there anybody there? Knock once for yes, twice for no. They are charlatans. They pretend to communicate with the dead so that they can prey on vulnerable people. They can make a lot out of a small amount of information. They can create an atmosphere in which people feel strange sensations. But at the same time, the Bible makes it clear that there is a spiritual world. Colossians 1, for in Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. There are angels and demons. Jesus cast out demons in several of his miracles. Although we might treat these fictional accounts with ridicule, the Bible makes it clear that there are real dangers if we try to engage with evil spirits. Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So I guess it's important at this moment that we pray. And Father God, we do pray for protection. Lord, we do pray for protection from these evil forces in the world, particularly those spiritual forces. And Lord, we do pray that you will bind those evil spirits. And we pray that they will have no influence over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Saul might be asking that question as well. Is anybody there? God, are you there? Once again, he is facing the Philistine army. Once again, we're told he is afraid. Terror filled his heart, we're told. And in the past, he might have asked Samuel for advice. But Samuel, we're told in verse 3, has died. And so Saul inquires of the Lord. Verse 5. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Now, the Urim and the Thummim, these are strange things. They were apparently stone-like things that the high priest would throw the stones in order to get an answer from the Lord, a yes or no answer from the Lord. And the Urim and the Thummim were worn in the ephod of the high priest. So that's the Urim referred to there. Saul has inquired of the Lord, but the Lord does not answer him. Saul has turned away from God too many times. One writer puts it, people ignore God and then complain that God is ignoring them. If you want to be left alone by God, then beware. God may give you what you want. He may leave you alone. Well, presumably Saul didn't have the Urim and the Thummim, because back in chapter 23 we were told that the priest Abiathar had taken the ephod and presumably the stones to David after the other priests had been murdered by Doeg. So without Samuel, Saul is now depending on other prophets or dreams. But as Saul says in verse 15, God no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. Does Saul know that the Lord has left him? Or is he impatient, unwilling to wait for the Lord? Whatever the reason, Saul is now so desperate to speak to Samuel that he wants to use a medium, even though he had already, verse 3, expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. A medium was someone who communicated with the dead. This was a practice that was strictly forbidden. Deuteronomy 18. Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And yet, despite that, Saul asks where there is a medium. And his attendants tell him that there is one in Endor. Now, Endor is 6 miles away from Saul's current position on the battle line. It's on the other side of the enemy camp. Saul is so desperate to get information that he's willing to go behind enemy lines to do so. The Bible makes it clear that we are to stay away from the occult. Horoscopes, seances, psychics, reading tea leaves, palmistry, whatever it might be. There are good and safe ways to approach the spirit world, such as worship, the word of God and prayer. And there are those that are dangerous. Any time that we engage with the occult, we are stepping back behind enemy lines and opening ourselves up to the enemy's attack. Both in Saul's time and today, the Bible tells us to stay away from the occult. But Saul disguises himself and goes at night to see the medium. Saul swears to her by the Lord that she will not be punished. Saul is being so inconsistent. He swears to her by the Lord, which, while blatantly disobeying the Lord. And Saul is also committing a capital offence here. And in less than 24 hours, he will be dead. Romans 2, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. But the woman asked, whom shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel, says the Lord, says Saul. And when she does, she is more shocked than anyone. Whatever she expected to bring up, she certainly didn't expect it to be Samuel. Perhaps she was used to communicating with a certain spirit who pretended to be the spirit of the dead. But when she sees Samuel actually coming up from the dead, she screams at the top of her voice. I do struggle with this passage, and I do wonder why God would use something so wrong. God had chosen not to speak to Saul through biblically ordained means, so why would the Lord speak to Saul through a medium? Some people say that this couldn't be Samuel, because God wouldn't use something that he prohibits. But the passage seems to say that this really is Samuel. And so God is doing something very unusual here. He doesn't do anything wrong. God doesn't call up Samuel from the dead himself. So we must assume that if God wants to use Samuel in this way to bring a word to Saul, he can do that. If God wants to bring Moses and Elijah together with Jesus during the transfiguration, God can do that. God, in his sovereignty, allows Samuel to speak from the dead in order to speak a word of judgment on Saul. Somehow, when the medium sees the figure, she immediately knows that it's Saul who's before her. Perhaps Samuel called out using Saul's name. Maybe God gave her a flash of insight. Maybe it was just pure instinct. And Saul asks what the spirit looks like, and she describes an old man wearing a robe. Well, that simple description seems to be enough to convince Saul that the ghostly figure is indeed Samuel. Maybe it's because the last time that Saul had been with Samuel, back in chapter 15, Saul had caught hold of the hem of Samuel's robe, and it tore. And Samuel had said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you." So Saul bows down and prostrates himself with his face to the ground. Samuel asks Saul, "Why have you disturbed me?" And Saul basically says, "I tried talking to God, but he wouldn't answer me, so I called on you instead." Saul now knows that God has turned away from him. Did he think that disobeying God further would somehow get God back on his good side? And Samuel tells Saul that God is just doing what he said he would do. God has taken the kingdom from Saul and is giving it to David. Saul didn't listen to God before. Why would God speak to him now? We can't expect God to speak if we don't listen. Sometimes people do ask God to approve a decision that they've made, even though they know it's wrong. It's contrary to what's in the Bible. Somehow they think that theirs is an exceptional case. But the judgment that Samuel speaks is clear. Saul and his army will be defeated by the Philistines on the next day, and he and his sons will be dead. Romans 2, God will give each person according to what he has done. For those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Well, over this series, we have seen the rise and the fall of Saul. Saul falls literally full length on the ground. We have come a long way from Saul, who had been chosen as king, head and shoulders above everyone else. Now we have Saul consulting a medium flat on the ground before a dead prophet. There is no benefit in sin. Saul is pitiful here. He is on the ground, filled with fear, not eating, completely drained of strength, judged by God. And even the medium takes pity on him and offers him some food so he can go on his way. 1 Chronicles 10 tells us, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. Why do people consult mediums or go to seances or read horoscopes? Probably because they want reassurance, to know that a loved one who has died is okay, or that there is hope for the future. But we already have words of reassurance, the word of God. Isaiah 8, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? One writer puts it, the problem is not that God has not spoken to us, but that often we do not want to hear what God has to say. We do not want to admit our need of God, and we don't want to submit our lives to God. We want comfort without demands. We walk away from the God who loves us and into the hands of people who exploit us, or worse still, into the hands of demons who deceive us. So, from where do we get our advice? There was a time when we used to get careers advice at school. I think one of the options I was given was to be a librarian. But I didn't fancy spending my whole life telling people to shh. Then, of course, there is citizens' advice in Koval Lane. Other services are available. But no doubt we would also turn to trusted friends and relatives to get good counsel. Today is Trinity Sunday, and we are celebrating our God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus, we have someone who has come back from the dead. He's not a ghost. He doesn't come to us through a medium. He is a real person who has risen from the dead. He could be seen, touched, he ate food, he could be heard, and he can still be heard today. Jesus is the presence of God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew, he says to us, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. If we turn to Christ, God will be with us always, everywhere, through every situation. And God also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes God's words come alive to us as we read the Bible. The Holy Spirit may move us to confess our sin, to remind us to pray for someone in need, or to prompt us into action. So let us seek God's will through the Word of God and prayer. Let's stay away from the occult. Let us pay attention to God's gift of conscience and seek to be obedient to God's word. Let's trust in Jesus. Let's choose God over sin. Amen. And Father God, we know that these evil spirits in the world are doing the devil's work. And Lord, again, we ask that you will bind them, that you will resist their attempt to have any power. And that we do pray for our friends and families who might think that some of these things like reading the horoscope or going to a seance or a Ouija board or whatever it might be, Lord, they might think that it's harmless, it's just a bit of fun. Let us warn them. Let us make sure that they know the danger that they are walking into. So help us to be brave in doing this. In Jesus' name. Amen.